Father, I thank you that you're with us, whether it's a bright, sunshiny day or a stormy day in our lives. Lord God, you are there with us and for us. And I pray, Lord, as we talk about the storms of life, that we would be encouraged in our walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. God bless you this morning. Good to see you here today. You know, that song was sung with a purpose. In fact, let's just do a little survey. How many people have experienced storms in their lives? Couple people. Okay. Glad to see that I'm not the only one, because if I was the only one, I'd want to know your secret. The reality of it is that there are storms in our lives that come and go, but I believe that God wants to use every storm for a purpose. A number of years ago, we had at that time just three children, so my three oldest were really quite young, so probably about like 7, 6, 3, somewhere in there. And so we were in Canada living there at the time, and we'd come home late one evening. I don't even remember where we were coming from. And literally the skies opened up. I have never experienced a storm like it before or after, where the raindrops were like huge balls of water. Like, it wasn't hail, but literally huge balls of water just pounding down on the car. And so we pulled up to our house, and the rain, and then the thunder and lightning started. And literally, it would be, you know, you'd see the flash of light, and we lived out in the country, so there's no street lights or anything, so it's pitch black. But then that flash of light, literally the whole sky would light up, and then kaboom, right after. You knew that lightning was like right there. But here's the thing, that wasn't just once or twice. Before the thunder stopped, there'd be another flash of light and another kaboom, right? Like it was, I'd never been in a storm like it in my life. So we're sitting in the car waiting, you know, and you know, I'm like, this will pass. It's like a micro, you know, one of those micro things. It'd come and go. It just kept going and going and going. And you know, so Jonathan, he's the second, he's the guy in the middle. So he's about 6 years old. Now, he was a pretty dramatic kid, all right? And so he's like, Dad, are we all going to die? You know, literally, that's what he says, right? So then my older son, he starts crying. And then the three-year-old, Rachel, she doesn't know anything, but if they're crying, then she should cry too. So they're all wailing in the back, okay? So that's going on. The storm's still pounding down. Everything's still happening. And then another storm happens. Now, I don't blame my wife for this storm. This is my fault. I brought this upon myself. But she happens to say, you know, if you'd fixed the garage door opener last year like I asked you to, you could have just pushed the button and the door would open. And oh, by the way, even if it did work, you didn't clean the garage up so the car could go inside. So I had a storm going on outside. I had a storm going on inside. It's like, oh my God, it was horrible, right? Now again, Sandra was justified for saying what she said. But the point is that happened, and then finally it got less and less and less, and I thought, it was still raining. I thought, you know what? There's more peace in the house than in the car. I'm leaving, right? So I got out, opened the door, and everyone ran in, and we were fine. But the thing is, storms happen in life. And in fact, to speak to that story, there are external storms. Look at what's going on in California right now. Look, I just saw online a bunch of tornadoes that had gone through mid-America. You know, so there are external storms that happen, real physical storms. But what I want to focus on even more today are some of the other kinds of storms that happen. You know, financial storms, relationship storms, you know, health storms. You know, those are the kinds of things that go on as well. And the thing is, they all affect us in different ways. And so my hope is today, as we spend some time together, is that we can navigate through these storms in a way that God would want us to. Can you say amen to that? So in a sense, this splits up into two categories today, or two portions of Scripture we're going to be looking at. If you have your Bibles, if you'll go to Jeremiah chapter 1. We're going to look at just a couple of verses here before we go into the New Testament to our main point today. And so let me just give you a fact, let's read it, and then I'll tell you a little background on it. And now it's going to seem odd. When I read this, you're like, how does this apply to me? It's going to be okay, all right? It will apply. So this, look at this with me. Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning at verse 11. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see a branch of an almond tree, I replied. And the Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. And the word of the Lord came to me again. What do you see? I see a pot that is boiling, I answered. It is tilting towards us from the north. And the Lord said to me, from the north disaster will be poured out on all who live in this land. And so as you look at this scripture, you know, first of all, out of context, it's like, what is this all about? But let's talk about it just for a moment. This is a time in the time of the nation of Israel and Judah where enemies had come. The Assyrians had already taken over the Israel part. There was two, Israel had been divided up into two nations. You had Israel and Judah. So the 10 nations were in the north, and then you had the Judah and Benjamin were the two tribes that were in the south that made up Judah. And that's where Jeremiah was. And Assyria had taken over Israel already, and they wanted to take over Judah as well. But a new enemy had come along, the Babylonians that lived in the north. And so here's Jeremiah. He's a prophet, right? And so he's like, God, what's going on? And so God begins to speak, and he talks about this almond branch. And first of all, that's kind of weird to us, right? We don't have almond trees here in this part of the country. But in Israel, when they speak of an almond branch, that's the first sign of spring. And in fact, when you look up the original language, when it talks about a branch of an almond tree, it talks about a budded branch. So when you would see those buds, you knew that spring was coming. And so basically what God was saying here is that a change is happening. At this point, Judah had been protected, but now things were changing. And so he asked Jeremiah, what are you seeing? And so Jeremiah in the spirit could see this branch, and he told the Lord, this is what I see. And what does God say? You're seeing correctly. And then he says again, what do you see now, Jeremiah? And he says, I see this boiling pot tipped from the north towards us. And he's talking about the Babylonian Empire that was going to come. And just like boiling water would scald and wash things away, it's the same thing the Babylonians were going to do. So here's Jeremiah caught up in this storm. Now, this storm isn't something he created. He just had to be born, you know, we could say at the wrong time, right? But the point is, there he is in the midst of a national, you know, literally a huge storm that was outside of his control. Yet here's my point in bringing this up. He could still hear God. See, and this is what I want to talk to you about. You know, we're living in a time now where there's a war going on in Europe right now, you know, between Ukraine and Russia. You've got that. We don't know if that's going to spill over into other nations. We have no idea, right? You know, in our natural selves. There's other things going on. There's stuff going on in Congo, Nigeria. The list goes on and on of different things going on all of the time around the earth right now. Things that are outside of our control. And yet I am confident that in the storms of what's going on nationally, internationally, that God will still speak to us if we're willing to listen to him. But so often we get caught up in the storm itself that we're not listening for the voice of God. We're actually listening to the storm. And let me tell you something, when you start doing that, then fear will rise up, then confusion will rise up, doubt will rise up, all those kinds of things. And I say that to you because that, what I've just said, applies to your internal storms as well. If you're listening and trying to see all of the mess that you're in rather than seeing Jesus in the midst of the storm, then you are going to have struggles in this life. See, so many Christians have been taught wrongly that if you're living, here's the statement, that if you're living a righteous life, if you're doing what God has called you to do, you will have no storms. That's a lie. That's an absolute lie. But here's the problem, because people are taught that, then when the storm comes, first of all, doubt about their own salvation comes in, doubt about their heart towards God, all of that comes in, and it actually pushes them farther away from God because it's a lie. That's what lies do, push you away from God rather than draw you closer to him. And so what we have to do as believers is recognize storms come. Now, you might not like it. I might not like it. But there's a purpose. And let me promise you this. By the time we're done this morning, you're going to see why the storms come. And there's a good reason for the storms. And you might say, I don't feel good right now. I get it, okay? I get it. You know, I was sitting in the car with my family, and they're crying, and you know, everything's going, I did not feel good. But in the midst of it afterwards, I'm like, I need to fix the garage door opener. I need to clean the garage. You get what I'm saying? I need to do my part. Amen? So I just encourage you, there's a purpose in the storm. In fact, I'm going to say this before I go further. If you find the purpose sooner than later, the storm will get over sooner than later. All right? That's a big deal. But if we're lamenting and complaining and screaming to God, God, just take away the storm. And he's like, why would I take it away? There's purpose in this. You know, there's lessons to be learned in this. And rather, embrace what God is doing through the storm. I'm not saying embrace the storm, all right? Because there's a lot of sources of storms. Have you figured that out yet? If you've lived long enough on this earth, you know that there are several different sources of storms that happen. Some are just beyond our control, as we've already talked about. What about the self-inflicted ones? You know, the one where we get involved in something we shouldn't have got involved in, you know, whether financially or, you know, relationship-wise or whatever, and now we reap the consequences of that. Now we're in a storm as a result of it. How many people have done some self-initiated storms? Yeah, my hand's up, and I dare say that there's not a person here that hasn't had a few of those happen in their lives. Other times, it's literally a satanic attack. It has nothing to do with natural things. You didn't do it, but literally, it's a satanic attack against you. Here's the thing, though. Regardless of the source, God will still use it for His glory if you'll let Him. You know, that which was meant for evil, He will turn to good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. So sometimes we get fixated, well, where did this come from? Blah, and we get all freaked out about it. I'd rather just kind of push that aside and say, Lord, what are you saying in this storm? What do you want me to learn here? You know, how can I grow through this to come out the other side of this? And let me tell you something. I believe that shortens the storm down considerably. Amen? Amen. Okay, so that's my point in looking at Jeremiah. God is speaking. God will speak to you even concerning what's going on in Ukraine and Russia and bigger things so you can pray and intercede. Amen? So I encourage you, don't let fear rule and reign over the international storms that you see right now. Just intercede and pray. God will speak to you through it. Amen? And show you your part, whatever that might be. Amen. Okay, so here's the deal. God wants to bring peace to you in the midst of your storm. How many people can say amen to that? All right. So it almost seems, an oxymoron, right? Storm, peace. But let me tell you something. God wants to bring peace. So in your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 4. This is where we're going to be spending our time to the end of the service. Mark chapter 4. Familiar story, 6 verses. Just 6 verses. Powerful, powerful verses. Mark 4, beginning at verse 35. Mark 4, verse 35, reading from New King James Version. On the same day when evening had come, He, Jesus, said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took Him along in the boat as He was, and other little boats were also with Him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat onto the boat, so that it was already filling. But He, Jesus, was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then He, Jesus, arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But He said to them, to the disciples, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey Him?" What an awesome account, right? Now, let's just dissect this a little bit. Go back to the first verse, to verse 35. Verse 35. And so this is the context of this entire account. This is really, really important. Oh, you can put it back up there. It just disappeared. There it is. There it is. On the same day when evening had come, He said, "Let us do what?" What's it say there? Cross over to the other side. So Jesus had told His disciples, look it, we're getting in this boat and we are going from here to there. Has everyone, you got that, right? You don't got to look up the Greek on that. It's pretty clear, right? Going from this side to the other side. Okay, this is really important because God is speaking. Listen to me. God is speaking to you right now through me and saying this. Whatever storm you're in, you're going to get from this side to the other side. Can you say amen to that? Now, you may be in the middle right now. You may be where the disciples were screaming, "Help, help, help, we're all going to die." You know, but the point is, you've got to remember deep down inside your spirit, you will get to the other side because Jesus said so. So here we are, all right, in the boat. And so let's go on to the next verse. So that's what He said. We are going to the other side. So verse 36, can you pop that up for me? Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. Other little boats were also with him. Great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so it was already filling. Now, I want you to notice something, and often it's missed. What does it say about boats? There's some other boats, right? Other little boats. So can I tell you that the storm that you're in isn't just about you. There are other people around you, maybe in the same boat, if you get what I'm saying. In other words, they're dealing with the same circumstances of life. They got their own storms going on as well. And the thing is, what you do as a believer in Jesus, how you interact with him, how you respond, how you deal with the storm, may impact them as well. Because what did those disciples do? They went to Jesus and they said, look it, you know, we need your help, right? He's asleep in the boat. You know, he's pretty calm and cool about it, right? And it wasn't that he didn't care. He knew he was going to get to the other side. Maybe we should all just have a nap with him, if you know what I'm saying. Having peace that it would be okay. But here's the thing. They acted, right? They knew what to do. A storm was coming. Who did they call out to first? Right. Did Peter use his fisherman skills? He'd been in lots of storms before, right? Some of the other disciples as well. But what did they do? They went to Jesus. And that's what God has called you and I to do. Why? Not just for ourselves, but when he said, peace be still, guess what? There was calm for all the other boats as well. You see, sometimes we get selfish. You know, we're in our storm. It's, God, I need your help. And I get that. I get that. Because when you're in the midst of it, all you can feel is your own pain in a sense. But you need to realize that there may be family involved. There may be friends. There may be neighbors. It could be your community. You know, it could be your school. The list goes on and on of the other little boats. And how you interact with Jesus can have an impact on them as well. I can't tell you how many times I've had people come to me over the years when I've been in a storm, and they'll say, why are you so calm about this? You know, this is going on. I know this about your life. You know, you got this going on, that going on. Yet you're calm. And I said, look, because I know who Jesus is. Amen. See, they're in their little boat coming upside to me, and they're just saying, hey, can I jump into your boat? You know, it's a lot more calmer in your boat. And literally, that's how it should be for us as believers. Storms will come. I'm not going to sugarcoat this. Storms are coming. If you're not in one now, guess what? I got news for you. There's one coming. And I don't say that to scare you. I don't say that for you to, when's the wind and rain going to start? You know, here's the thing. When I'm done here today, you're going to see that we can embrace storms for the purpose they were meant for, and that's to bring glory to God. Bring it on. That's where I'm at in my life. Bring it on. Why? Because Jesus is with me in the boat. What better place to be on the face of the planet than with Jesus in the boat. I'll just tell this quick story. I was called to be a missionary, short-term missionary to Albania, and we were there in the early 90s. And I ended up, again, it's a big, long story, but I ended up facing a gun out in the middle of nowhere. And this guy was going to kill me. That's where it was at. I'm looking at his gun, at the barrel of it. And you would think I'd be scared to death. I would have thought I'd be scared to death. But I'm looking at it, and I'm like, okay, Jesus, you called me to be here. I know I'm in your perfect will. I know you're here with me. And I felt no fear. It was the strangest thing of all. I thought I would, but I didn't. All that came to me was that Clint Eastwood line, make my day. You know, and I started kind of laughing on the inside. That was just and I said, well, Lord, you know, what do I do? And he began to speak to me. Begin to speak in the spirit against the spirit that was on this man. And this man, he was so angry at me, so angry. And so he just all of a sudden took his gun and he's pounding on the car with the gun, just beating the car up, and then he leaves. Because what God did was diverted his anger from me towards something else. And then the guy just left. So I've been in storms. I know what I'm talking about when I talk about how the enemy can sometimes make these storms, but God can turn it for good. See, now I know that no matter what comes, the next gun comes along, I'm like, okay, you know, if it's my day, praise the Lord. If it's not, get out of here in the name of Jesus. Yeah. In other words, not to be fearful. That was the lesson that I learned in that. But as we look at this storm, there was a plan in it. And we can see that as the disciples were yelling and screaming at Jesus, what did Jesus do? He says, why are you so afraid? Where's your faith? So why would he say that? He was saying it to challenge them because that storm was about them growing in their trust in Jesus. In fact, as you look at the final words, let's just look at it in verse 41. It says this, and they feared exceedingly. And that word fear can mean, it can mean phobia, as in like just terrified, or it can mean revere. And so they, I would go with the context and say revered, right? In other words, they honored him. They're like, whoa, that's really God, right? And they said to one another, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? In other words, the life lesson for them, the storm for them, was that what? Jesus is above all. Now that storm could have just been a storm that just happened. It could have been the devil sent the storm. But can I tell you something? Jesus knew that storm was coming, and he still said to his disciples, what? Get in the boat. We're going to the other side. And so we got to realize that God is not about taking us around storms. He's about taking us straight through, right through to the other side, because that is his plan for our lives. Amen? Now, let me just say this. He spoke peace, didn't he? He said, peace, be still. And that word is silent and be muzzled. That's literally what it means. And so literally when Jesus spoke to that storm, he's saying, you no longer can speak to the disciples. You see, your storms are speaking to you right now. Whether it be a health issue, financial issue, you know, it's saying you are not going to come out of this. You know, it's giving you that negative scenario, right? How many people know what I'm talking about? You know, you're in a storm and all you hear is negativity out of the wind and out of the rain and out of all the turmoil that's going on. And what does Jesus do? He speaks to it and he says, silent, be muzzled, be mute, do not speak any longer. And that's something that you and I have to do. In the midst of the storm, if we want to hear Jesus speaking, then we've got to silence the storm. And we have to take authority over it. And that's challenging for some of us. We're like, well, how do we do that? It's using the name of Jesus. To say, Jesus, I thank you. And spending that time in prayer and getting his heart. And then speaking to that storm and say, silent, be muzzled in Jesus' name. So then you can hear the voice of the Lord above the storm. And then he will direct you to get to the other side. So here's the thing. We all want peace, don't we? So listen to this. They're going to put the quote up. Peace is not the absence of a storm, but it's the presence of Jesus in the storm. Can you put that up? I know it's there. Yes, no? Is it yes, no? I'll have to check it. Let me read it to you again. If it's not there, I apologize. I maybe didn't copy and paste it. Oh, there it is. Oh, miracle. Peace is not the absence of the storms, but the presence of Jesus or the experience of Jesus, right, in the storms. If you're praying to get out of the storm, you're probably missing the point. But rather embrace Jesus in the midst of it, and he will guide you to the other side. So I've been talking a lot about context. How many people have seen maybe a text on someone else's cell phone or maybe even on your own, but they had sent a bunch of other texts, but you only saw the one part and it kind of freaked you out? You know what I mean? It's like it was just like totally out of context, right? And you read this text and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, it kind of freaks you out. And then you read the rest of it and it's in context and you understand the storyline then. Well, let me tell you something. It's very much the same with this scripture that I've just shared, with this whole account of this storm. Now, this is the first time I have read this account hundreds, if not thousands of times. I've read the New Testament hundreds of times through. What I'm going to share with you is something I've never seen before, except for this week. And I'm like, oh, this is so cool. So I want to show you something that was encouraging to me that fits exactly what the Lord had shown me to share with you today. And so if we go back, and we're not going to, but I encourage you to do this. If you start in Mark 4, verse 1, it starts out with the parable of the sower. How many people have heard of that parable? It talks about the four soils, right? You got the hard soil, you've got the rocky soil, you got the thorny soil, and finally you got the good soil. And you got the seed gets thrown into all those areas, and then the results of all that, right? And only in the good soil does the seed produce a crop and a harvest. And then it goes on, it talks about another type of seed. It talks about the growing seed. And in that, it talks about this man that plants seed, and he goes to bed, wakes up, and he doesn't know what happens, but the seed just grows. And basically, the Lord's speaking that time happens for seed to grow in our lives. And then he throws this thing and talks about, you know, a lamp under a basket. It's a little bit bizarre. He talks about, you know, you don't put a light under a basket, you put it on a lampstand so everything is revealed. And then he finally finishes with the parable of the mustard seed, that little bit of faith. You know, a mustard, how many people have seen a mustard seed? It's like really, really small. Yet when you plant one, and I've done this, it's amazing. It'll grow into like a small tree in a season. Just literally in a matter of a few months, it becomes this huge thing that, and it literally says in Scripture, birds can land on its branches. It's amazing. And then it says, and bring up again, Mark 4, verse 35. If you could bring that up again. It says, on that same day when evening had come. So he had just finished telling all those parables. And then he says, on that same day. Do you think there could be a connection there? So he talks about seeds being planted. He talks about things being revealed. And then what happens? They go into a storm. They get into the boat and go into a storm. And it's talking about their faith. And then we're not going to read about it. You know what happens after this? They deliver a guy that's demon-possessed by some 2,000 demons. They pray for a woman with an issue of blood. A dead girl who's 12 years old is brought back to life. In other words, a whole bunch of miracles happen after that. So let me show you in picture form what I believe God is showing me. So could you bring up that illustration for me? Got three pictures. So here we have Jesus in the upper left, your upper left as well, sowing seed, all right? So here's the seed. And what is the seed? The seed is God's word. What's the soil? It's our hearts, all right? And so here's what's happening. Seed is being sown. He's talking about the principle of sowing into our lives. And then guess what happens? Storms happen. And you might say, well, hold it. That's horrible. Here's the thing. I was a farmer. We needed the storms. You need storms to germinate the seed so it can grow. And that's literally what it is for us. God plants seeds, his truth, into our lives. But the only way it can germinate is for it to be tested, for it to be germinated. It's got to grow, right? Or else it's a waste of time. It's just sitting there, seed. It needs to be rained upon. And guess what? Storms is the best way. You need torrential rain for the soil to get totally saturated so that seed can open. And it can grow. And that's literally what's happening, right? They're out in the middle of the sea, and the Lord is saying, where is your faith? He's saying, look, this is for your growth. This isn't to kill you, to wreck you. It's for you to grow. And then what happens? They make it to the other side. Growth happens, right? Miracles and signs and wonders. That's what the storms are for. So what can you and I expect in the storms of life? There's three things that I want to leave you with. First of all, God is there with you. He's there. And you need to put that deep down into your heart. You may not perceive him or sense him, but you need to believe that, because here's the thing. The word says he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. So he's there. He's there. Okay, next step. God is speaking. Now, you might not be hearing him at that moment at time, but here's the thing. You need to speak to that storm to silence it. You need to say, I am no longer going to focus on this storm that's going on around me, but I'm going to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and his words. And you might say, but I'm not hearing him. Listen to me. He speaks right through this. If you're not hearing him here, hear him here as you read his word, and he will speak to you through that. I promise you he will. And then the third and most important point of all is that he is acting or moving on your behalf. Amen. He's there. He's speaking. And he is acting, moving on your behalf. Can you say amen to that? I pray that you embrace your storms differently than maybe you have in the past. You know, it's changed my life over the years as I've realized that the storms aren't to destroy me. Now, the devil may want to destroy me. He may have intended that storm to destroy me. But that doesn't matter. I'm in the hands of Jesus. Nothing evil will befall me apart from him knowing about it. It's all good. And so for you to get to the other side, though, there may be some lessons to learn. Let's stand together. So let me just put this out right now. Are you in a storm right now? Just put your hand up. Okay, I see those hands. You can put those hands down. Thank you for your honesty. Well, I got news for the rest of you. There'll be one coming. But I'm not saying that in some kind of like, ugh, you know, the devil's out to get you. Nothing like that at all. But rather, it's part of the growing. If you are taking in the seed of God's word, if you are crying out, I want to be used more by God, let me tell you something, storms are coming. But here's the thing, not to destroy you, but that the truths that God has revealed to you can germinate and grow and become just more real, and then you can apply those to your life. That's what it's about. So, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, those that put up their hands that are in the midst of the sea right now, they're crying out, God, help me, I'm drowning. That, Lord God, right now, in Jesus' name, that they could hear your voice clearly, for you are there in the midst of their storm. And you will guide them to the other side, because that's what you said is going to happen. They're going to get to the other side. So, Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that you will help them and aid them in that. I pray for those of us that maybe at this very moment, we're in sunny skies. But, Lord God, we know that weather changes. And we also know that if we want to grow in you, there needs to be adversity. That's how it works. And so, Lord, I pray that as we enter into the storms to come, that we would have clarity to hear your voice, to know that you're there with us, that we could sail through the storm from one side to the other in the authority and the name of Jesus, and we can grow through it. So, Lord, bless each one here. I pray they go out better prepared for the storms that are here now and the ones that will come. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. God bless you this morning.